this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob in your life. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, a couple quick comments on the Iowa caucus results hysteria and how it ties into understanding the anatomy of a conspiracy theory, or how we could use this to recognize the errors that take place when someone births a conspiracy theory. Also, we have audio of Donald Trump, just a sentence or so, about how anti-abortion he is. And I'd like us to think through this statement he's made repeatedly and see what we could discern in it. It's not too difficult to do. Also, we've got a couple comments on our 75th anniversary program for Auschwitz, the death camp run by the Germans in Poland. So that one from an Oregon listener who tried to visit the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and he wasn't admitted. And then also another listener remembered years ago we protested the builder of Denver's Planned Parenthood abortuary, the Weitz Corporation. And at the time, we made a graphic and we had a website, auschweitz.com. So we want to read those comments. And then also, we've been trying to get back to our discussion of Donald Trump's Middle East peace plan and how we should, as Christians, evaluate such current events, such policies, and the danger of using an end times framework in our understanding or advocacy of public policy, just like the danger of using your end times interpretation in your decision about investments. If you believe that the end times will hit, or they'll pretty much wrap up sometime in the next decade or so, then you just may advise people wrongly about how they should use their finances. So, and this actually, something like this happened in the book of Acts, and everyone who sold their homes and their lands, they all ended up in dire poverty, and it was the Apostle Paul's converts who did not sell their homes, they did not sell their lands, and they repeatedly took collections to provide relief for the believers in Jerusalem who were in distress. They were in extreme poverty. So let's begin with the audio of Donald Trump. This is from his rally in Iowa when the Democrats were campaigning there for the caucus that never was. And Donald Trump made a statement, and he also last night in his State of the Union address made a similar statement. So first let's hear the sentence or so from the rally.
Virtually every top Democrat also now supports late-term abortion, ripping babies straight from the mother's womb right up until the moment of birth. That is why I have asked Congress to prohibit extreme late-term abortion, because Republicans believe that every child is a sacred gift from God.
So that's what's called populist rhetoric. It exhibits the most grotesque hypocrisy. So let's play that again, only not the first part, slamming the Dems, because that's the red meat for Donald Trump's audience. Let's start where he says, that's why I have asked Congress. Let's hear that again, and then think about what he actually said.
That is why I have asked Congress to prohibit extreme late-term abortion, because Republicans believe that every child is a sacred gift from God.
So you could hear the hypocrisy there, right? Republicans, we're different from the Democrats because they're the party of late-term abortion. Now, when you look at all the children killed in the U.S. by surgical abortion, mechanical abortion like IUD, forcing a child who's conceived in the fallopian tube to be expelled because it can't implant in the mom's uterus, chemical abortifacients, RU486 or the Plan B morning after pill, however the baby is killed, you look at all those methods and you see the percentage of abortions that are late term, like Donald Trump is talking about. And what they maybe they're talking about a couple percent, 1%, depending on where you draw the line, 2%, 3%. So when Donald Trump says that every child, and we're going to play this again so we can hear this, every child is a gift from God. He said many times that children are made in God's image. They are a gift from God. That's why we, the Republican Party, that's why we oppose late-term abortion. How's that? What that means is, I mean, he is telling even his pro-life and Christian conservative supporters, he's telling them we are not fighting to stop 95%, 97% of all the killing of children in this country. We're distinguishing ourselves from the Democrats because they support late-term abortion and we don't. Let's hear that again.
Republicans believe that every child is a sacred gift from God.
So if Donald Trump believed every child is a sacred gift from God, would he fight to stop only the killing of 2% of the children who are killed? Or would he fight? He knows what it means to fight. He is a fighter. Would he fight to stop the killing of every child? And the audience goes wild, giving Donald Trump a false sense of security. If this was all happening in Germany and the Jews were being slaughtered, and he said, we are the party of life. We're going to save 2% of the Jews who are being killed at Auschwitz. We're going to fight to save 2% of them. How would that go? Well, for those who have switched their loyalty from God to a political party or to a candidate, it would go over fine because the truth doesn't matter. What matters is satiating our lust to beat the Democrats. And I admit it is gratifying to see the Democrats implode. It's so gratifying. Yeah. But that is not going to motivate me with God's help. It's not going to motivate me then to lie to people who are killing innocent children. The pro-lifers who say that Donald Trump has nominated and seen confirmed 180-some pro-life judges, that's a lie. They're simply lying. So we have long offered a $10,000 check to National Right to Life. It's online. You could see it. You go to AmericanRTL.org for American Right to Life, AmericanRTL.org/10,000. So just 10000. And you'll see a scan of this check where we wrote, we will pay National Right to Life $10,000 to name a single justice on the U.S. Supreme Court who has ever held that the unborn child has a right to life. Ever. In a decision, in a dissent, in a paper, in an article he wrote, in an interview, in a law school thesis, ever, anywhere. So when National Right to Life says we need one more judge, that's a lie, because if we got one judge on the Supreme Court who believed, who has ever affirmed that the unborn child has a right to life, that's what they're called, right? National Right to Life. Then we would have one judge. So we extended that at Colorado Right to Life's March for Abolition a couple weeks ago, which is held directly across the street from Denver's Planned Parenthood abortuary. After the March for Life, the event, we went out on Quebec, held signs, and then after that, a group of us went to the west steps of the Capitol where we had a permit. We've had a permit there every year for decades, and we held signs and we prayed, and we talked to people who happened to be there. So I extended that offer to add, we will give $2,000 to anyone, not just National Right to Life, to you or anyone who could document a single judge nominated by Donald Trump and confirmed by the Republican Senate, a single federal judge who has ever held that the unborn child has a right to life. $2,000. Now, we are experts on the U.S. Supreme Court. We are that. I mean, National Right to Life is not that. Focus on the Family is not that. Dr. James Dobson is not that. Tom Minery is not that. The Denver Archdiocese is not that. And go on and on and on. Eagles Forum, Concerned Women for America. They're not that, but we are, because we actually read their decisions and we're not lying about who they are. But we are not experts on all 187 judges that Trump has nominated. So it's like crowdsourcing research, right? Or crowdsourcing computer software coding, like topcoder.com. So let's crowdsource this. Colorado Right to Life offered, I announced at the March for Abolition, that Colorado Right to Life was offering $2,000 to anyone who can document, you know, like a link on the internet to a decision, a judicial opinion. It doesn't have to, it could be a minority opinion. It could be a dissent or an interview or an article or a paper in law school to any of Trump's judges who has ever held that the unborn child has a right to life. Because we've been around the block here on Bob and Yurt Live. We've been doing this going on 30 years. And I remember from 30 years ago when we were told, look, Ronald Reagan is nominating pro-life judges, pro-life Supreme Court judges. Who did we get? Sandra Day O'Connor. Remember her? She was in the legislature in what state was she in? Was it Nevada, New Mexico? And she had twice voted for abortion, twice. And after that, Reagan nominated her to be a Supreme Court justice for life. How's that? And remember the moral majority, Jerry Falwell? So Jerry Falwell, later in his life, he tells a story. He says, Ronald Reagan called me. I was on vacation. I was on the beach. And I got called. I had to go take a call from the president. And he said, Jerry, I know you're not going to like this nominee, but please, for the next 6 weeks during the hearing, will you please not make any public objection? And he said, so I did that. I stayed silent. And he said, and he added, and I would do it again. And that was after she was a known vote to kill unborn children for many years. So there's something that's very perverse in the pro-life industry and National Right to Life and the Republican Party's feigned war against abortion, where really for decades they've done things that have meant virtually nothing, like the whole partial birth abortion ban. Dr. James Dobson, in Focus on the Family, when he was a part of that organization that he founded, they were telling donors that the partial birth abortion ban would end late-term abortion. That's how they were raising money. For 15 years, the pro-life industry raised $250 million on this cash cow of the partial birth abortion ban, which never had the authority to prevent a single abortion, not one. And after the Supreme Court issued their ruling on the PBA so-called ban, we took out a full-page article, an open letter to James Dobson in the Colorado Springs Gazette. And we also ran this in the Washington Times and in key newspapers around the country where there were national pro-family leaders and organizations. So all told, it cost tens of thousands of dollars to run those ads. You could see that open letter at AmericanRightToLife.org/Dobson. You could see it there. And so James Dobson then wrote, like a couple days later, in his national newsletter, he wrote, "Ending partial birth abortion does not save a single human life." And that's after it passed. And sadly, that corroborated what we had been saying for 15 years on Baba and Yart Live about this scam. Tragedy. Why do we have to do it? They've got a budget of $100 million down in Colorado Springs. They got a whole team of judicial analysts. Why couldn't they figure it out? So there's something fraudulent about Christians and those who are against abortion who want to be lied to. Let's hear that one more time from Donald Trump. Let's hear that one more time. That's why I have asked the Republican Congress to ban late-term abortion, right? Because every child is a sacred gift from God. You realize the hypocrisy, the lie that's inherent in his message. Back when he first promised he would not ask judges whether or not they were against abortion when he would nominate them, and him outsourcing that responsibility to who? The Heritage Foundation, the Federalist Society, these groups. You think these groups ask a potential nominee, do you think they have a standard of abolishing human abortion, of personhood? Do you think they require that a judge holds that an unborn child has a right to life before they give Donald Trump their short list of suggested judicial nominees? Do you think? No, they don't. And he doesn't. George W. Bush promised that. It was his first campaign promise that he would not ask judges where they stood on abortion. That was his first campaign promise. That's to let the establishment Republicans know, and the deep state, that he's not a threat to their primary commitments. That's why George W. Bush said that. But then National Right to Life, James Dobson, everyone else lied and misrepresented what George W. Bush was doing, especially when he doubled the funding to Planned Parenthood from Bill Clinton's $1 billion. W. Bush brought it up to $2 billion. So we'll hear that one last time, and then we go on to comments from our listeners.
That is why I have asked Congress to prohibit extreme late-term abortion, because Republicans believe that every child is a sacred gift from God.
What hypocrisy. Talk about contradicting yourself in the same sentence where the buffoons in the audience are screaming their approval. Every child is a gift from God. That's why I want to stop 2% of the killing. And last night in the State of the Union address, President Trump said, "I am calling upon the members of Congress here tonight to pass legislation finally banning the late-term abortion of babies. Whether we are Republican, Democrat, or independent, surely we must all agree that every human life is a sacred gift from God." So if he's not overtly contradicting himself, then he's claiming that early in pregnancy, the fetus in the womb is not a gift from God. It's just sometime later that becomes a human life, and it becomes a gift from God. And when you're confused on what's the best way to go to lose weight, that's one thing. When you're confused about killing innocent children, that's a different thing. And that's what Christians should be warning Donald Trump about, and not giving him a false sense of security that he's A-OK with God. Rush Limbaugh got the blessing, really, of finding out that his physical life on Earth might be nearing its end. In a way, a blessing, because he said in the last 2 weeks, he's been focusing on his relationship with God. You know, when it all comes down, that's when people focus on the things that we focus on every single day. Like when there is, for example, a Supreme Court opening, then the whole nation thinks about what? Abortion and homosexuality. That's what it's been for decades now. The whole nation. The Democrats are trying to make sure that the judge, whoever's nominated, is pro-abortion and pro-homosexual, but the homosexual issue, that's going to drop away because the entire conservative Christian leadership, they're all pro-homosexual. So forget about that. So that's been lost, just as every significant battle has been lost. The only light that there's been, the only glimpse of some kind of success has been the Young Earth Creation Movement, like Real Science Radio is a part of that, the homeschooling movement, the Christian homeschooling movement, and the Me Too movement. That's it. And that's a secular movement. But that's about it. Everything else has been mostly a scam to get Christian conservatives to support leftist, immoral, and socialist ideas, like Mike Pence and everybody standing on their feet, that we are going to take care of everyone with pre-existing conditions. That's like telling Geico you have to insure people without insurance after they get into a car crash and kill three people. You got to insure them then, even though they didn't have insurance. It promotes irresponsibility. It's socialism. It's immoral. It violates God's enduring command, thou shalt not steal, and it's stupid to boot, but it's populist. So you got the whole Republican Party, right? A conservative is a, this is on our definitions page, kgov.com/definitions. A conservative is a Republican trying to save a social program started by a liberal. Because it was Barack Obama who gave us the pre-existing conditions in his Obamacare, and now that's as though God had revealed it at Mount Sinai. But let's go to our Auschwitz program from a week ago. I interviewed Dominic Enyart, our youngest of seven sons. He's 18 years old. He broke off from a visit of some of our family members to New York City to go off by himself to the Holocaust Museum there, and they had their 75th anniversary, their Auschwitz exhibit. The whole museum was dedicated to that anniversary. And so here a listener, a BEL listener from Oregon, wrote in, Bob, I just listened to your interview with Dom about the Holocaust Museum in New York City. I visited the Holocaust Museum in D.C. Now, I've gone there also, and I've gone in Jerusalem to Yad Vashem a few times. So these museums, if you at all have the opportunity to go, please go to one, at least one of these museums. So Drew writes, the guards wouldn't let me in the museum unless I turned my T-shirt inside out or covered it with a jacket. I refused and demanded to see the boss, and then the boss of the boss. We waited around for half an hour. My shirt was so outrageously offensive. It had a picture on it of an unborn baby with the caption, I am a person. And that's it. Yeah, the Holocaust museums are all, as far as we can tell, editorially, policy-wise, they all support the dismembering of unborn children. They all do. So that's devastating, of course. In other words, they support the Holocaust of our day in reminding us about the Holocaust in the 1940s, and may it never happen again. They actually support the current slaughter of millions of innocent children. They support dismembering, ripping the arms and legs off of a single little boy, even if it's a boy in the womb of a Jewish mother with a Jewish father. They support that too. So devastating. And then also from another listener reminding us of Auschwitz.com, spelled with an E. And so you could go online or go to our website, kgov.com/Auschwitz, and you'll see these two comments. Years ago, Bob Benyart Live, we helped to run the Collaborators Project, and it was to delay construction of Colorado's largest abortion mill for Planned Parenthood. It was being built by the billion-dollar Weitz Corporation. So that effort, we provide links and a graphic there. You can see Auschwitz and Auschwitz.com specializing in abortuaries, where the Weitz Corporation is building these child-killing centers. So we have protested at the homes of the Weitz executives dozens of times. In fact, just click the link and you'll see clicking the link. I mean, we had a Super Bowl party at a Weitz executive's home and it drew more than 50 people. We even had a barbecue in the back of a pickup truck. The police were there. Journalist was there. It was quite the event. And that was one of dozens of protests at Weitz executive, homes of Weitz executives. And then there's the Iowa Democratic Caucus phone app that imploded in spectacular fashion. And aside from showing the incompetence of the people who want to take over healthcare and every other aspect of our lives, right? They did the same thing with the Obamacare state websites that were a billion-dollar catastrophe, literally. So aside from that, this is all also fodder for conspiracy theories. For example, Hillary Clinton, it's her tech team or key players in her tech team that created this app. So someone birthing a conspiracy theory would say, oh, Hillary wanted to make every other candidate look like a moron, that they can't even conduct an Iowa caucuses without her, and so they sabotage the app. Or the guy who's in first place in the Iowa results, his campaign paid $42,000 to the company, the shadow company that made the app. So they could say, oh, his campaign paid them to make him look good, regardless of the outcome. So conspiracy theorists, they have a difficult time discerning between evidence and their imagination. Because they could imagine something, they think that that means it probably happened. And of course, then they violate God's enduring command, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. So there I go, focused as we are on not giving lip service to protecting unborn children, there goes the whole show, and we haven't gotten to the Middle East peace plan yet. But never fear.